You're listening to the NASM CPT Podcast with Rick Ritchie, winner of the ShareCare Emmy Award for Social Storytelling and the official podcast of the National Academy of Sports Medicine.
Hey, y'all, and welcome to the NASM CPT Podcast. My name is Rick Ritchie, and today I got a question from the grab bag. I've got somebody that reached out and said, "Hi, Dr. Ritchie, I've got a grab bag question for you. Can you go over what volume actually means? Everywhere I look, I see someone defining it as differently from the next person and with such confidence. From what I can tell, volume should be reps times weight times set, but some people say high volume just means high reps. It's all over the place. Any insight you have would be great, Heidi L." Well, Heidi, thank you for reaching out. I appreciate it. And gotta be honest, it can be defined either way. So it can be sets times reps, which is really the total amount of repetitions that you do. But my preference is what you suggested, which is sets times reps times weight. And if you take your reps and your sets, and then you add in the weight, you have the total amount of volume of weight lifted. Not the total amount of repetitions done, but the total rep volume, which means you're taking into consideration the amount of weight that's being lifted. Now, you can do high volume, and that's going to be lighter weight and lots of repetitions. You can do a lower volume, and lower volume just means you're not going to be able to get as many reps. You're not going to be able to do as many. So you're going to get fewer reps. You can add in more sets. The weight is going to be higher, most certainly, but you can just do a lot more volume with lower weights because you don't have as much neural fatigue. You don't have as much damage potentially to the muscles, and all of that stuff takes place. And so what's interesting is that between the high volume and the low volume, you can actually, what we would look at is, instead of saying high volume, low volume, I would say, let's look at the load, the total amount of load that's added on there, and let's do it with volume calculation. And what you would do is you take your sets times reps times weight, so it's the total reps you lifted with the weight over the course of that workout. Now, some people also will say volume should be over the course of a week. And you can do that. But in order to get how much you do in a week, you need to get how much you do in a day. So each day's volume is important. And so what I might do is I might say, all right, I'm going to do loaded carries and I'm going to go 50 yards holding two 50-pound dumbbells, one in each hand. And I'll go 50 yards and I'll go 50 yards back and 50 yards down and 50 yards back. And every time I go 50 yards, then I have moved 100 pounds 50 yards. So when I take it back, it's 200 pounds when I do it. And so at the end of the day, I might say, all right, my goal, my volume is 2,500 pounds moved to 50 yards. So I'm not going to lift 2,500 pounds, but I can lift 100 pounds, 50 in each hand, and make that journey. And so I'm looking to get a certain amount of weight volume that to cross the 50 yard. Well, we don't usually do loaded carries. We generally talk sets and reps. So here's what it could look like. You can look at this study. I thought it was really interesting. It's by Carvalho et al. In 2022, muscle hypertrophy and strength gains after resistance training with different volume matched loads. And it's a systematic review and meta-analysis. And I love this. We've got Brad Schoenfeld, who is part of this study as well, and it comes from the Journal of Applied Physiology, Nutrition, and Metabolism. And here's what it says. So the abstract is we're looking at this systematic review and meta-analysis, and you're looking at the differences between muscle gain and strength gain, or hypertrophy, muscular development, and how much strength you gain. Because just because you gain hypertrophy doesn't mean you gain as much strength. And just because you gain strength doesn't mean you gain as much size. And so here's what the parameters of this study was. The resistance training protocols looked at a very low volume, or the volume is a very low load. And this is what it looked like. It was less than 30% of your one rep max, but they did greater than 35 repetitions. That's a lot. That's a lot of reps. Think about this might be somebody's push-up volume. And then there's the low load. Low load is between 30% and 59% of their one rep max. And they did between 16 and 35 reps with that. So that's that rep max. They're looking at the rep max there. Then there's the moderate. And the moderate is a 60% to 79% of your one rep max. So it's the percentage of your one rep max, 60 to 79%, or 8 to 15 rep max. And then you're looking at a high load volume. It's greater than or equal to 80% of your one rep max, or less than or equal to 7 reps. All right. So what they did is they took them and they matched the loads with the volume. So the volume was the same, pretty much. The loads were matched with volume loads, sets, reps, and weight. And when you put those numbers together, they all turn out to be about the same repetition volume. So the amount of sets, reps, and weight. So if we're looking at what volume is, generally, we're also adding in what intensity looks like within that. And so you're adding in the weight. And that way, at the end of your workout, if you measure for the repetition and weight, so the total reps, which means sets and reps, and the weight, then you can really look and see how much weighted volume you put into your lifts. And of course, if you're doing lighter weights, you can probably get more volume. So this is a very low load volume load, the moderate load, and a high volume load. Now, for hypertrophy outcomes across all the studies, there were no differences between the training loads. So when it was matched for the volume, we found that when you took the volume load and it's equal between conditions, the highest loads induced superior strength gains. So the heavier weight you lift, even if it's equated for volume, if you lift heavier weights, you get stronger. You increase your one rep max, greater increases in one rep max. But if you equate for volume and you lift heavy, you lift moderate, and you even lift low or very low loads, you equate it for volume, guess what? Hypertrophy was similar, irrespective of the load's magnitude. So what's it saying here? Training with higher loads elicits greater gains in one rep max muscle strength when compared to lower loads. This is a quote from them. When compared to lower loads, even when the volume load is equal between conditions. So again, we're looking at the volume, sets, reps, and weight. Muscle hypertrophy is similar, irrespective of the magnitude load, even when the volume load is equated for the condition. So what it's basically saying is that if you're equating for volume and you lift heavy, you lift moderate, you lift light, or you lift very light, but you do, if you're lifting very light, you're doing tons of repetitions, then you are going to get the same hypertrophic outcomes as the people who are lifting heavy for the same load. But I will say this, and I think this is interesting, and it's very important to point out, not this study, and another study points it out, is that the real gains that you're getting are probably only coming from the latter repetitions. If your goal is to work out to the point that you challenge a muscle and you're lifting light loads, when you get to the end of that work, that working set, so let's say you're doing 35 repetitions. Well, if it's a light load, you can do 35 repetitions. That means the first 20 aren't probably even getting your heart rate up. It's only when you get to the latter repetitions where the fatigue sets in, the damage starts to take place, the ATP depletion is going on. And those latter reps are the ones that you get the real benefit from with your hypertrophy. So I think one of the things to point out here is that if you're going for hypertrophy, why don't you cut out the first 15, 20 repetitions, increase your weight, and just do the latter part of it. If your goal is to hypertrophy, then you may be interested in lifting heavier weights so that you can get to those repetitions that count towards the hypertrophy and do away with the working reps that are just like very slowly building fatigue until you get to the point where you are gassing out, you're fatiguing the muscles completely. Is there a place for light load when it comes to volume training if you're trying to get hypertrophy? I think there is. If I have maybe my shoulders messed up and I'm doing a bench press or a lat pull down, then a heavy load is not good for my shoulder. But I can still get all the same hypertrophic outcomes if I can push through those final reps and fatigue the muscle. So I don't need to do that 6 to 12 repetitions. Certainly if I have something going on with the shoulder, a 1 to 5 rep might be well heavier than what I'm willing to put on that shoulder. So the high load versus low load, I think is important. But one of the things that you look at here too is your repetition max, and you're really trying to get close to your end repetition where you're starting to break form. I think breaking form is a good way to say, okay, this is where muscle fatigue is kicking in. Now you're trying to shift your body. You're trying to move, get other muscles to jump in there, work at different angles and vectors so that you can get an advantage to lift something more easily. You arch your back more, maybe you jut your head forward. Those are kind of things where you really see as the fatigue kicks in, the body starts to change position. And the body starts to change position. I think probably that's a good place to be like, all right, can you do one more and can you do it in better form? You try one more, it's not better form. You should stop there. You should stop there. And then just recover and then start working towards the next set. So get your break. Well, if we're equating for volume, let's have a look at what this very low load looks like. A very low load might be, let's say I'm looking at squats and my one rep max might be 200 pounds on a squat. So a very low load would be approximately 70 pounds if I can squat 200 pounds. And it's 35% of my one rep max. 35%, very low load, that's 70 pounds. But you got to go 35 repetitions. That's a lot of repetitions. Now, let's also point out the metabolic intensity of doing these higher volume workouts. And so, and we're equating for volume here, but this is just one set. So if I decided to do a second set, then that's a lot more volume. But my total volume, if I do one set of 35 at 70 pounds, the total weight that I lifted was 2,450 pounds. What does that mean, Rick? Well, we got to compare it to other things. So now I'm going to take a low load of 50% of my one rep max. So if my one rep max is 200 pounds, then my squat is going to be 100 pounds. That's my 50% of my one rep max, 100 pounds. But I'd have to do 24 repetitions to equate for 2,400 pounds. It was 2,450 on my very low load. So 2,400 pounds would be 24 reps of 100 pounds. All right, now I'm equating for volume. Those are going to both get me nearly the same hypertrophic response. Moderate intensity, 75%. That's going to put me at 150 pounds and my one rep max is 200. So I'm going to do two sets of 8. That puts me at 2,400 pounds. So can you do one set of 24, two sets of 8? It's still equating and I'm getting 24 pounds total volume. Both are going to give me a similar hypertrophy response. One of them is going to make me stronger than the other. What do you want? Do you want to increase your strength and your hypertrophy or just hypertrophy? And I think most people would say, oh, I'd like to get stronger if I'm also going to be doing this. And then you've got a very heavy load, or the heavy load in this study. 95% of your one rep max would be 190 pounds, and you would have to do 6 sets of 2 repetitions. That'll put you at 2280, so almost 2300 pounds. And what would happen is, in order to equate for volume, you'd probably do another set, but just decrease. So you might have some single or one rep sets in there as well. Equate it for volume. You're going to get much stronger, but the hypertrophic response is going to be similar as the other ones. Volume. Heidi, to answer your question, it is sets times reps times weight. Just because some people say sets and reps is volume and then sets reps and weight is volume doesn't mean that either one of them are wrong. They're both versions of volume, but do you want to equate for the amount of weight lifted? So your total working volume is going to give you a good idea of the total amount of weight you lifted. And at the end of your workouts, if you don't just look at sets times reps, because you can do a lot of volume if it's just sets and reps, and all of a sudden you're looking at so many more repetitions when you are doing high volume. But if you equate it for weight, then the weight can kind of balance that out a little bit. So with that said, it's not wrong to define it one way. I just like to ensure that the definition of volume includes the amount of weight lifted, and then you can start working with that. Now, the problem with that, my fellow gym goers, is the amount of math you have to do. Now, you can ask Siri and Alexa, I gotta be quiet because she's right there, to do the math for you. You can pull up the calculator on your phone and you can do it, but it's just additional work for you when it comes to calculating the volume by putting the weight in there. But it gives you a much better idea of the total volume that you lifted. And if you're really tracking your workouts, then you may want to get even more specific by looking at volume with weight included. All right, cool. I hope this helps, Heidi. And for the rest of y'all, just getting a better idea of hypertrophy and not hypertrophy, volume. And then in this study, talking about hypertrophy and equated volume with hypertrophy is about the same, but the heavier or the greater the intensity of the weight, the stronger, closer you get to increasing your one rep max. So you equate it for volume. Everybody develops muscles the same. So when you get people that are like, I don't want to get too bulky, let's just do light weights and high repetitions. Well, it will do the same for you if you push your final repetitions to where we want it to go. So that might be a great way to sneak in getting somebody stronger and building muscle when they are saying, I don't want to get big. We know that they're likely not going to get big. Some people will hypertrophy or develop muscle much faster than others, but you also have to have the diet to support that as well. And you got to have the volume. And so this is a good understanding that we want to make clear. And it's studies like these that help us actually change some of the information that we even put in our OPT model. So we continue to grow. And as more data comes in and more information and more research gets done, we don't just sit back and go, no, but this is the model and this is what we do. We have a model. And in that model, we still will point out now, because of research like this, that even endurance work can build hypertrophy. And you start doing the supersets, then you're talking about incredible amounts of volume with things like the strength endurance training. All right, with that said, thanks for listening. Like, subscribe, share with your fitness friends and family. You got questions for me like Heidi did, you can reach out to me. Hit me up on Instagram or Threads at dr.rickritchie or email me, rick.ritchie@nasm.org. Keep inspiring people to fitness. Thanks for listening. This has been the NASM CPT Podcast.